On today's episode of The Good Word, Marcus Thompson from The Athletic joins me to talk about the massive trade between Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic over the weekend and how it affects both franchises. Why did Jimmy Butler say no to an extension with the Golden State Warriors? Or did the Warriors say no to an extension with Jimmy Butler? And the De'Aaron Fox trade, all that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business to get into as we do before every show. We are always on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe. And don't forget to also rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. Now let's get to the business. My man Marcus Thompson from The Athletic is here. He is one of the three best writers walking the face of the earth covering the NBA. My man, how you doing?
What's up, man? You know, it's early out here on the west side, but, you know, I'll get up for the good word.
Hey, you look like you about to rob somebody.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, it's, again, it's early here, and, you know, everybody sleeps, so I can't turn the heater on. My wife could have a heart attack if I turn the heater on to wake her up, so I'm over here cold, bro.
Don't do that. I'm learning those lessons as I'm reaching certain. You don't mess with those internal heaters.
Just leave them alone.
But speaking of being robbed, did somebody get robbed this weekend? Like, let's just start that. I'm not even going to introduce it to y'all because you already know it's Monday. The Lakers and the Mavs just completed on Saturday night. Arguably the biggest trade, by far the most shocking trade we've probably ever seen, given the timing, given that there was no lead up, none of that. Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, Maxi Kleber, like all the names, and of course the Utah Jazz snuck in there and got a couple draft picks. Now, did somebody get taken? Marcus?
Is it a robbery if you participate? If you initiate? If I come up to you and I was like, "Hey man, I give you my house for $100. Did you rob me? Or did I just, like, actually swindle myself?" Because I feel like that's what happened. I feel like Dallas actively scammed itself. You know what I'm saying? They grifted themselves. So I wouldn't call it a robbery. If this was a court case, I'd say Rob Pelinka was innocent. Innocent of the robbery. Not guilty. The glove does not fit the Lakers.
I am as shocked at the number of things, like shocked at the fact that Dallas gave up Luka Doncic, shocked at the fact that the Lakers, shocked still that the Lakers traded Anthony Davis, like the fact that people are treating Anthony Davis like he's Antonio Davis or something like that, like throughout this
town, this man, Oakland's finest.
Hey, I want to say Dale Davis, you know what I mean? Like a different AD out here. They treating him like he a backup big. Like I get that Luka Doncic is Luka. And 28-8-8 and everything else. And that's on a bad year considering he was at 34-9-9 last year. Is there a world, Marcus, where you look at Nico Harrison and you look at Jason Kidd, who I'm not sure who was as much a part of the deal as much as it was, oh, this is what's going on? Oh, okay, bet. Is this a situation, Marcus, where Dallas knows more about Luka than the rest of us know, and if they're saying we don't want to invest $350 million in you on an extension, or we think you might be trying to elbow your way out this summer, so it's time to get out before the getting gets bad, is there a world where we see that and we're like, maybe they're not fools?
Yeah, I think so, but they better win a championship. They absolutely better win a championship, because for whatever they know, right? And they clearly know some stuff. That whole Michael Finley taking a beer, that adds a whole new element now to it, right? Like, so they clearly know some stuff. And for them to decide, you know, yeah, we off Luka, like organizationally, you know what I'm saying? For them to decide that means they know something, and they still went to the finals. Think about that. They went to the finals with a dude that they couldn't tolerate anymore. Right. So to me, if they win a championship, there becomes a justification, because you could, you know, it's very well possible Luka might never win a championship, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know, you still got to eat that, bro. You still got to, like, we're going to deal with it until it's time to sign a $345 million check, right? Because you, this thing is, it's bigger than basketball in a sense, right? Like, you just gave up one of the most attractive talents in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, it's wild. More than, also, we talk about AD. Like, AD definitely gets small timed in this. But, you know, he's playing sensational basketball, right? Like, this he's, like, this ain't the AD who used to get mocked and ridiculed. Like, this is.
This ain't street clothes.
This ain't street clothes. This is elite AD. But also, you're so through with Luka, you just put your title hopes and your franchise in the hands of Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? I understand Kyrie's been like a changed man in Dallas, but you obviously are okay with some level of risk, right? So this idea that you had to do it right now, you couldn't say, yeah, man, we're going to play this out till next year, and then, hey, Luka's on the open market. Man, get the bounty. De'Aaron Fox just went for more than what Luka did. Like, that's the part that's insane. So, yeah, they got to win a championship. You win a chip. Then it's like, all right, I told y'all suckers, but if you don't, it's going to look rough.
Is there an over-obsession with first-round picks?
Absolutely. No question.
You know what I mean? I feel like the nerds, and I don't mean like us because we geek out on stuff. We nerd out on stuff. But y'all know what I mean when I say the nerds. The nerds get so happy about thinking that they are Sam Presti when they are really Sam Hinkie. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we can do with these first-round draft picks. Yeah, in theory, right? In theory for years down the line. But I feel like this, and this is where we have to put in our common sense, our thinking caps, and we don't do that too often. If you telegraph to the league that you are trading Luka Doncic for whatever reason, right? Rock with me here. If you tell Oklahoma City, or you tell Golden State, or you tell whatever team that you think you could get something, you could extract some real value from, that's going to get out. And then Luka Doncic, we've seen how he can kick it when he ain't happy, right? Then he says, oh, y'all trying to trade me? I'm only going to Team X, wherever that place is. And you know what that you know what happens there? You ain't getting a bounty of draft picks. You ain't getting a bounty of whatever it is that you think that you are getting. So if you were going to trade him, it was going to have to be in the den of the middle of the night after the Lakers just hit one of their best wins of the season. That was the best, if not the only time to get this thing done.
I don't know. It's Luka, bro. You put Luka on the open market. That's all fine and dandy for Jimmy Butler. But you know how this goes. Nah, we don't. We've never seen a dude like this on the market. We've never seen it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've never seen a 25-year-old, five-time All-NBA player just on the market. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, this ain't Jimmy Butler we talking about, right? Like, this, we're talking about a dude who's got 10 years, presumably. Of top-shelf basketball. The bidding war alone makes it, like, I don't know. I mean, in the world that we've seen, that's accurate. You lower your value by putting yourself out there. But that's true for the Zach LaVines of the world, right? Like, it wasn't true for Anthony Davis.
That's true for everybody.
Anthony Davis got a nice bounty. They got a nice bounty for Anthony Davis. Like, if you are desirable, like, it's going to happen. And I feel you on the picks, right? It ain't, to me, getting 7 picks don't do anything for you. But they've categorically said, hey, man, we don't really care about what's happening in 2028 and beyond, you know, 2030 and beyond. And I actually rock with that philosophy, because if you're a good front office, then in 5 years, whatever it is, you should be able to work with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it is. But to not take advantage of this idea that you got this generational star and you could have gotten more from him. And the only thing you got, or not the only thing, but the main thing you got was a dude who at best got three elite years left in him. That, I don't know, man. That's, I feel like they could have gotten more. And that to me was the error. They just could have gotten more.
I think there's so many things about this that's fascinating. Like you said, one, I'm going to go back to what you said maybe 5 minutes ago. On ball Kyrie. That's what we're about to get. Kyrie was not on the ball in Brooklyn with James Harden there. Kyrie was not on the ball in Dallas, and he seemed pretty comfortable with Luka Doncic being on the ball and Kyrie running off the screens. Kyrie in Cleveland with LeBron James, he was more comfortable with someone else making those decisions. Now you're saying to Kyrie, you got to be a point guard. And you got to play the position to get the PJ Washington shots, to get Klay Thompson shots, to make sure that Anthony Davis gets the ball wherever he needs to get it. And that's the dude who's gotten the ball in spots from the premier playmaker of this generation in LeBron. I'm not saying, Marcus, A, that I'd make the trade or approve of the trade or whatever it is. Like, 'cause there's a lot of questions there. But if Luka Doncic by midseason is already removed from NBA consideration for the season awards because he's only not even played half the games, only played 22 games this season, right? He's never played more than, 70 games. He's at his height and his weight, 6'8", 270 pounds. That's a lot of weight to carry. And sooner or later, I feel like you wind up paying a toll on that. Your body, as much as you keep coming back and you can play yourself into shape, whether you're Charles Barkley or Allen Iverson or James Harden, who have all had different things that prevented them from being at peak efficiency at all times with their body, you wind up paying the bill for that a little bit later. You wind up crashing out a little bit younger than what the numbers say that you should. Not saying that that's going to be with Luka, because I think Luka's going to get a wake-up call, but I have just as many questions for – I have questions for both teams. Honestly,
oh, yeah.
Marcus.
Oh, yeah. No question.
I got questions for the Lakers.
You know, and clearly in their little backroom deal, you know, that Rob Pelinka and Nico Harrison had in their little...
That's the Nike-Kobe connection there, baby.
Right? That little private meeting they'd had, which kind of reminded me when the Colts left town under the cover of night.
Baltimore Colts left, yeah, in the middle of the night. Hope nobody saw it.
Moving trucks, yeah. But Rob Pelinka had, I mean, Nico's got to be telling them, right? Because if you're Pelinka, you're like, what are you doing and why are you doing this? So he's got to tell him. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, let me tell you about this dude, Luka. Not to mention, you've already heard stuff. Like, that stuff kind of gets around the league. I think nobody is surprised by the logic that Dallas is using, right? The surprise is the execution or the fact that they actually pulled the trigger, because there's always this idea that he's 25, he'll figure it out. And if he ever figured it out, that's ball game, right?
Right.
But for the Lakers to say, give us your problem. Bring it. We got this. So in LA, he's supposed to figure this out. In Hollywood, he's supposed to put down the beer. And he's supposed to work out.
No, it's not even. No, it's not that. It's, we're going to put you next to the dude who takes the best care of his body that we've ever seen. And we're going to hope that those habits rub off on you. Anthony Davis has had two of the healthiest years of his career, the last 2 years, because he's been on the LeBron James plan, right? Now, to flip it, I think people, to flip it for a second, because I want to stick with where Luke is going. People treat Anthony Davis like he's a bum because Nikola Jokic puts him in a body bag. Y'all realize Nikola Jokic put everybody in a body bag. He's like the Undertaker in 1991. He remember the Undertaker when he first came out? He would actually put people in body bags and in caskets. I don't know why we was watching that. I don't know why we were allowed to actually watch this man put the Ultimate Warrior in a body bag.
Because we drank from water hoses, man. We good.
But like, I just need to say that, like, if Anthony Davis's biggest sin in L.A. was A, not being able to replicate the shooting of the bubble, which nobody would expect, and B, not being the definitive 1A type, I'm sure we're going to get all types of inside stories over the next couple of weeks. I'm actually headed out to L.A. today to spend trade deadline week out there. But I got just as many questions for the longevity of LeBron James with Luka Doncic, what the prospects for the Lakers season is moving forward.
Like right now,
and the fact is, what does this mean for the clutch conglomerate? Like, because I felt like the old Death Row picture, you know what I mean, with Snoop and Dr. Dre and Tupac and Suge, I feel like that was clutching the Lakers. That ain't the case no more.
Not when you're doing backroom deals with, you know, without anybody involved. So, look, I understand the logic. I understand the logic. So perhaps LeBron and his, you know, infinite powers can get Luka on the plane. But nobody's been able to get Luka on the plane. And the Lakers just said, here's the keys to the kingdom, even though you ain't on the plane. Yeah. So I don't know. LeBron's 40. LeBron might be out in a year. I mean, if Luka was wise, right, if he was smart, if this shook him to his core, if this was the wake-up call he needed, then he would take advantage of that. He would be like, Bron, show me your ways, right? They got the similar play style. Like, that's it right there. Go listen to Bron. Are we sure he's going to listen, though? You know, are we sure this is has this emboldened Luka, or has it made him reflect? You know what I'm saying? Because the same... What, losing in the finals, right? Losing in the West finals. Like, this dude has been through some things that would make you think, all right, Luka, you should probably
tighten
just
up.
Get in shape, tighten up. And he hasn't tightened up. So now if he does, it's incredible. I think the smart part for the Lakers is they essentially took on the long-term project that Dallas said we don't want a part of. And obviously, the cost for the Lakers is cheaper than Dallas's was, right? Dallas is probably going to be $100 million more. But the Lakers are like, we're willing to go through this with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll wait till you figure it out and enjoy, like, this massive element you bring while you figure it out. Because no matter what you say about Luka, the dude is still a draw. And you got to have a draw at Staples Center. So, there are so many questions. This thing has so many layers, like
so many tentacles.
This should be the Netflix show. They should be the Netflix show right here. This deal, start recording everything right now, Netflix. If you knew what was best for you,
I think one thing we got to back up, because once again, for people who don't know, Marcus covers the Golden State Warriors in part of everything that he does, and he knows how ownership plays a big part. And anything that has to do with future long-term financial commitments. This is not Mark Cuban's Dallas Mavericks job.
No.
This is, go look up the Dallas Mavericks ownership. Just go look them up. Just do a quick Google. I ain't going to tell you nothing. Just go look them up. And when you find it, come back to me. When you find it, hit your boy on Blue Sky or the Twitter or Instagram. You will see exactly what I mean. You'll be like, whoa. Yeah, that's them. This is an ownership trade. This is not even a Nico Harrison, Rob Pelinka trade. This is ownership telling Nico,
this is Adelson
we don't want to commit $350 million to this kid over the next 5 years. So we got to get in front of it. What you going to do? I'll call L.A. This is what this is about, Marcus. This is about the ownership. This is all about ownership. Whenever you make big-time trades like this, because you not only do you not – let me break this down for y'all, or at least from what I see it, Marcus. Nico doesn't even start talking to Rob Pelinka even in jest about Luka Doncic. This is not, hey, we got a deal for Luka Doncic. What do y'all think, ownership? This is ownership telling Nico, we are not going to commit this to him. What are you going to do to mitigate whatever disaster is going to be in the meantime? and Nico has to sit up there and take the bullets like he and Jason Kidd did yesterday and get their names on the caskets like the fans did, Mass Fans for Life and all those types of people. Like, sometimes ownership makes dumb decisions, as we've seen clearly. But this is an ownership decision. This is a money decision, Marcus.
And think about it, like, from, you know, I guess we can still call them new owners' perspective, right? The Adelson billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they basically just said, yeah, we're fine with our cash cow leaving. I mean, most teams would just say, hey, listen, I understand Luka's going to be a problem as far as winning a championship, but can we just check ticket sales real quick? Can we check jersey sales? Can we check national TV games, right? Can mm-hmm. you get us into mm-hmm. the playoffs mm-hmm. and make a deep run every now and again so we can get that playoff revenue, right? That's how a lot of teams think, right? So the fact that they were like, yeah, you could get rid of our cash cow, right? You could get rid of the number one person who puts butts in the seats. Let you know, 345 was untenable. It was because if you feel like you could make that, you can make that. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, that's what it is. We're going to make the money anyway, so you got to spend money to make money. The billionaires know that. The casino billionaires know that. So the fact that they were like, yeah, let them go, right? And as a matter of fact, make sure you get somebody who is a little bit older, and not, you know, so we don't have to deal with this again, right?
Right.
Not another guy. Right. You go get people like, oh, you could have got Anthony Edwards. Like, Anthony Edwards put you in the same situation in 5 years, right? So
yep.
They went and got somebody who probably ain't going to put you in that situation. That, to me, was the thing where it was like, that's wild, right? Now, I don't know how it originated. Maybe Nico had this idea and he worked it and went to, and sold ownership. But this does not happen without the ownership saying, do it. There's too much money at stake. Nico might be out, like he said, he might be out of there in 2 years and they're going to be stuck with the bill. But no matter how you cut it, they were like, yeah, 345 is a lot. I can go without paying that.
Look, at some point I thought, with the numbers going up, with the exorbitant salary cap bumps and everything else and the escalators, and then you get the media rights deals and all that type of stuff, at some point, there was going to be some pushback against the upper crust. I thought it was going to happen to the Zion Williamsons and the Joel Embiids and ownership saying, hey, you don't play enough.
Yeah,
It happened to Luka Doncic. That's the wild part to me to some degree. A is like, we don't normally do that with those types of superstars. It just so happens. But man, here's the other part to this, and we've alluded to this. Since 1975, I wasn't born yet. Since 1975, Marcus, the Lakers have gone a grand total of 7 seasons without a bona fide headliner, from the day that they traded for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and then inherited Magic, and Kareem retires in 89, that leaves Magic for the next 2 years, and then he gets HIV. So you get three full seasons without Magic Johnson, 4 full seasons without Magic Johnson, and then you get Shaq and Kobe. And then it's just Kobe. And then Kobe retires in 16. And then you got 17, 18. And then, boom, LeBron comes. They always make sure they have a guy. That, how many franchises, Marcus, have not had a guy? And the Lakers have only gone 7 years without a guy in the last 50.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is normally fluky. You normally get one a generation. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
But it's the Lakers, bro. This is what they do. And that's the thing. Like, that's the part that makes Dallas' decision so wild. Like, if anybody understands, yeah, you got to win championships and the Lakers win championships. But also, man, you got to sell tickets.
You got to have a guy.
You got to sell relevance. You got to have a guy. This thing is about stars. Yes. And they just gave up one of the biggest stars in the game. And Anthony Davis is great. Kyrie has been incredible, right? Especially while Luka's out. But man, Luka was that dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Luka was the dude. Luka, it's kids crying on the internet about Luka. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no kids crying about Anthony Davis. They crying about Luka, right? There's a certain appeal to like your audience and the family of your NBA community that they were just like, deuces. I mean, look at the Warriors, bro. They like, we ain't giving up Steph. Like, the conventional wisdom would have said trade Steph a minute ago. They like it, but nah, right. But it's Steph, and he's here. This is like trading your uncle or something. Like, you just, like, he's a part of the fabric of the team, and something is bigger than that. That's what makes it crazy. The Lakers understand this better than anybody. Bro, you got to get one of them ones, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And they'll have two of them, right? You talk about they had 7 years them. Without him? You talk about 7 years without them. Him?
They go get him.
How many years have they had two of those guys? They usually keep a couple up, right? So
they got one in reserve.
They became the perfect partner for Dallas in that sense, because they knew. I mean, obviously Nico says he wanted Anthony Davis. He believes defense won a championship, but also, you know, like, this is the Lakers' bag right here. Right here. Give me the dude that's going to get the celebrities courtside, who going to tantalize our masses, our massive following, and we'll get to the championship somehow, because that's just what we do.
We'll figure it out. And look, it's an important piece of information for me to express to people, because clearly a lot of y'all people on Twitter can't read. Anthony Davis would be up for an extension after next summer. Not this summer, next summer. And clearly, the Lakers knew they were not going to extend Anthony Davis, even though his current extension kicks in after this season. But when you have two guaranteed years remaining on your contract, you are up for an extension. AD was going to be up for an extension after the summer of 2026. They were not going to extend him. That's a big reason why they moved him too. Because they were like, oh, whatever it was, they saw something or didn't see something. That's why I just need to clear that up for people who can't necessarily read on Twitter, like, Vinny, his current extension ain't kicked in yet. You stupid. I didn't say the summer of 2025. I said the summer of 26. Next season, his contract will be up for an extension.
But also, when we come back, he isn't one of the ones, though, right?
Exactly. No, look, the Lakers didn't view him like that.
Yeah, they just didn't see him as one of the ones. He ain't as great as he is. He's incredible. But he just ain't that Lakers one. You know what I'm saying?
He'd be that one for probably like 25 or other franchises.
Yes, absolutely. No question about it.
28 franchises.
About to be one for Dallas.
He about to be one for Dallas. When we come back, we got to talk about the Warriors. We got to talk about the De'Aaron Fox deal. All that and much more with Marcus Thompson. Back here on The Good Word with Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. Marcus, a funny thing happened yesterday that, of course, we only hear about later, much later. I've been hearing different iterations of a Jimmy Butler trade for the past week. I can't write them all. I can't tell you all of them because it's too many to name. But one that was gaining traction and momentum was Jimmy Butler going to the Golden State Warriors. And some level of deal, I believe that it was either involving Kuminga or Wiggins or both, probably one and some picks. But then it comes out yesterday that Jimmy Butler, who I believe has been having probably some backdoor conversations with some folks, said that he didn't want to re-up with the Golden State Warriors with the same level of extension that he would probably sign with the Phoenix Suns if that's where he winds up. I've been told, Marcus, that Stephen Curry has been actively recruiting Jimmy Butler since the summer, since the discontent has been made known to people. And now for you to almost get to the altar and for Jimmy to say, man, I don't want to sign an extension here. Man, what's the problem here, Marcus?
Yeah, this reeks of, you know, you gotta say no before you get told no. I've talked to a lot of people about this. The entire issue with Jimmy Butler was they didn't want to pay him. I don't think they weren't offering Jimmy Butler a contract extension. It just wasn't happening. Like, the what's wrong with the Warriors, the reason they're in this predicament, is because the top half of the roster is 35 and up, and the bottom half is not, and they're trying to marry these two things. The difficulty with Jimmy Butler is you got to give up the young ones, and you're gonna lean all in on the senior citizens. Mm-hmm. The owner just wasn't like that. Like, there wasn't this clamoring for that. The Jimmy thing popped back off because I've talked to people. It's like, this is not like, oh, we want Jimmy. This is like, I don't know. Do you want Jimmy? There's concerns about Jimmy and Draymond being together. How combustible that might be. There's concerns that you trade all your young pieces and then Jimmy's out for the playoffs. And the thing you went to get him to do to protect Steph leaves Steph even more vulnerable, right? So there was a lot of issues. I do think how their season turns out has made them more desperate, but also how that situation just flamed up. And now it's like Jimmy might be cheaper. You know, if the price is cheaper, then all right. So there's still some dialogue in the Warriors about do you get Jimmy or not? Do you get Jimmy or not? I tell you what, I know several people in the organization just would rather Zach LaVine. They would have rathered Zach LaVine than Jimmy Butler because he's younger, he's less problematic. Like he's you know, he shoots the three better. Like just thought that was a better fit. But Jimmy is now, you know, if you listen to the rumor mills, like Golden State is the middleman to get Jimmy to Phoenix and get somebody else to the Bay again.
You've heard that too.
I mean, all this stuff. This is what trade deadline season is all about, right?
It's crazy season.
Yeah, it's crazy season. You hear all kinds of stuff. And then, you know,
I've heard Kevin Durant going back to Golden State. KD was just, if y'all didn't realize, that's what Marcus was saying.
Oh, yeah. KD was just back in the Bay, just 1-20. It was a love fest. It was a love fest, Jimmy. And Vinny, it was a love fest. That it was just like KD was back home, bruh. It was like you felt something. And so now, you know, you see the management all working. Like there's some things there. I do think Steph, no matter what, needs somebody. And I think Steph is to that point. It's like, yo, I need somebody. I can't myself. Yeah, I can't do this by myself. Not the way they're guarding him. Not his age. His ability to just withstand all that like he used to is just not the same as it was, right? So he needs it. And he's in a situation that Bron is in where, like, they actually need somebody to pass the torch to, right? I think they're going to settle. They're going to end up settling for somebody who could just, like, ride out into the sunset with and start over. But they really need somebody to pass the torch to, which brings me up to another name. If you just want to be risky about the thing and see what's up, Zion Williamson, you know, just see. Talk about, hey, if you ever get in shape, if you ever get together.
Marcus, that's a chance I can't take.
I feel you, but there's just not other options. I mean, the other option is just say, Jonathan Kuminga, this is your team afterwards. This is your team.
Yeah, but then Steve Kerr is gone. I mean, well, he might be gone anyway. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of whatever it is.
The day Steph leaves, Steve Kerr is leaving with him. That's
yeah, they riding out together. It's a weird thing. Like, the Steph conversation is a weird thing because he's clearly able to hit the high notes on a given night. But if you're asking him to do it every night and asking him to carry and asking him to be the system, that's where it gets a little tricky. Kevin Durant fits in perfectly. I'm not saying neither one of us are reporting anything here, right? You hear all types of crazy iterations of rumors that sprout out from nowhere or sprout out from like an inkling of a thought of an inkling.
Or somebody trying to work something, you know, somebody trying to make a move and put this out there, you know, try to get a narrative going. Yeah.
It's a lot of that. I put it like this. If I were KD, I would say, oh, there's no better co-star for me than Stephen Curry, even at this advanced
stage. It's been proven.
And if I'm Stephen Curry, I'm saying there's no dude that makes my life easier than Kevin Durant, period.
I mean, they've been, this little Kevin Durant reunion has been in the background as a possibility of something floated for years now, right? Even before he went to Phoenix, they were having conversations, you know, about the nostalgia of it all and how to get back together. Like, they were so good together that it only makes sense. But amazingly, for both of them in a sense, right, they still have the ability to, like, explode in the game. Steph's problem is, like, the other teams just they treat the other Warriors like a 24-hour fitness team. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're just like, dude,
get the ball to Will.
And we're not even.
You got a whole bunch of Carltons out there.
We don't even care. Like, go off, right? They're just like, go off. It doesn't matter. And, you know, when the Warriors win is when somebody else actually goes off. But Buddy Hield can't do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? Andrew Wiggins can't do it all the time. So if you guard Steph like the way you guard him with Kevin Durant, you're getting murdered. Like, he will destroy you. Like, you just can't do it. He needs somebody like that. And there is some, like, sentimentality to it, too. Like, that would, like, you know, these two were champions. Matter of fact, this is the best basketball of Kevin Durant's life, probably, was next to Steph Curry.
By far. So
it's like, the idea that if they went out together, like, that's the type of, like, you know, kind of sappy, emotional lifetime way basketball can be sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the, oh, man, this
if you
is
remove ego and hurt feelings, and I can understand why Kevin Durant says, I don't want to go back there. If you know what I mean? Like, logically, I get that. But just from the standpoint of, man, that dude makes my game easier and I make his game easier. I don't think there's been a duo in history that complements each other well, or at least on the offensive end. Not even Shaq
like,
and Kobe.
And personality-wise, too. Personality-wise, too. Like, they're both, like, they both have this part to them where they've got, like, a very purist, like, mindset to
this
them.
This is the way
right?
it should be. This is the way the game should be
they're
played.
They got that really strong. And obviously, they also have the other parts of it, right, where they're showmen, they want to shine and all that. But, like, the core of them can be real, like, purist about it. Like, this beautiful game, and it's about winning. They're both real, like, super team guy. They're both, like, mushy basketball-type dudes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's about this and purity of the game and sharing, like, all that stuff. You know, the stuff they will talk about in college games. They've got that in them, and it works until all the other stuff get involved. But if they could just get back to that, keep in mind, Vinny, they also older. You know what I'm saying? They're not 28, 29 no more. Like, they know what the end is like. You can sense some maturation
there. Are they the old married couple that's like, you ever seen, not saying I've seen this, I have seen this. Like, you know, I got an uncle that got married later in life, or one of the times he got married was later in life, the most recent time he got married later in life. And then I'm like, and I asked my dad, I'm like, Dad, why does like this work? He's like, because he old and she old. And they ain't got time to be trying to look around and getting no other mess. They just comfortable being with each other and dealing with each other's nonsense.
Yep. Or they used to be together. They split up, and then they just found themselves at a party or something together. It was like, what are we doing? Let's just get...
What you doing in these streets? Get out of these streets,
man. What
are
we doing out here, man? We had a good thing at a time. Let's see if we can rekindle that, right?
Let's get that old thing back.
Here's a real question, Vinny. You know we love him, but that question brings up, what about Draymond? Because that's the real issue, right? It's not
Draymond
KD.
Like the stepson that didn't get along with the stepdad.
Like, I don't like him, man. I don't like him. But if you could figure out a way, like, does that deal have to happen without Draymond being there? Or can it happen being there? To me, that's one of the things that if it ever happened, that, like, that's a major question. And we know KD and Draymond's relationship, right? It's just mercurial, right? It's been explosive. It's been incredible. Sometimes you see them, they look like best friends. They were really close, you know. Can they get that? That's the one where it's like, can they get back together?
That's a good one.
They're older, you know, old black man, we be chilling, man. We'll be wanting all that drama, bro. We don't want no drama, man. We just like to chill.
It's that scar tissue. That's some stuff you can't get over. But we got one last break, and we're going to hit on the De'Aaron Fox, the other trade that happened over the weekend that we're not going to pay that much attention to, even though it's a pretty big trade. Going to have that on the last word. We'll be right back. It's time for the last word here with Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. In the trade that happened a little bit late last night, around 8:30 or so, like, I was watching the Bulls in Detroit, and Zach LaVine was out for a personal day, and, you know, he's got some new additions happening. And then he winds up getting traded to Sacramento in the mega deal that gets De'Aaron Fox sent to San Antonio to play with Victor Wembanyama. Zach LaVine winds up going back and reuniting with DeMar DeRozan in the Bay Area. They get 3 first-round picks, a 2025 from the Hornets, 27 from the Spurs, 31 from the Wolves, and the Bulls get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, their own 2025 pick back, and the ability to tank. The Bulls are tanking. And I think Zach LaVine, while we will wind up talking a lot more about De'Aaron Fox, A, I'm surprised the Warriors didn't go get Zach LaVine because he's having a monster year. I think you could have got him for something far less than what any other price could have been. I think teams will wind up kicking themselves for that. And the Spurs got Big Vic. They got him a real running mate in De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, this is massive, man. Like, we're talking like balance of the West type impact. Like, this is going to impact the Western Conference. You know, maybe not this year, but for sure. Like, you just gave Wimby a dog. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And he's got some young dogs around him, but this is a vet. This is somebody who's like established in the league. And the reasons he went there, right? Like, wanting to be back home, you know, you hear that
he's from Houston, right?
Yeah. You hear he's one of them guys who really ain't for that A1 life. Like, he don't want to be all in these streets like that. He don't want to be in the video. He just want to be with his family. Like, simple, you know what I'm saying? Like, guys like that, so it ain't going to be no drama with De'Aaron Fox, right? That's number one. Like, I feel like this might be a bigger deal later than we understand it to be now. Like, this is going to be massive.
It was a much bigger deal for the future.
No question. Like, the San Antonio just became like a problem, I think, in coming down the line, especially since they didn't give up any of the young, like, you know what I'm saying?
They didn't give up Stephon Castle.
Yeah, they didn't give up. They even give up Keldon, right? Like, who you thought they would probably, yeah. So that team is going to be good. The interesting thing, though, is I think actually Sack might be eyed off this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as much as I like Fox, this might be the Doug Christie era is off, is all I'm saying. And we were like, hey, man, y'all crazy how y'all did Mike Brown. Why you do Mike Brown like that? Yo, this is kind of working. Like, you know, you got Monk, you got DeRozan, and you got LaVine. Like, they're going to get some buckets, man. Like, they're going to get buckets. Now, defensively, we going to see. Yeah. Like, and who's the point guard? Yeah. Like, but Fox was out there getting buckets too, which was, you know, probably part of the issue.
They're just going to run a lot more probably through Sabonis at the top, a lot more through DeRozan, you know, at the nail. You know what I mean? Zach can play, make a little bit. They got a lot of scoring. This is a long-term move for them. They want to stay viable. They're not trying to, Marcus, they ain't trying to go back to being on a 20-year playoff drought.
Nah, they're not trying to do that. And then Zach, man, I feel like Zach gets a bad rap, dude. Like, I feel like Zach gets a bad rap. And I understand, like, he's not a player that, like, just makes winning happen. Like, he's not that guy. But
he can influence winning. He doesn't drive
winning.
That's
what I'm saying. You put him in a situation with winners. Like, I want to see Zach in that. Like, I want to see Zach when somebody's next to him. Like, hey, this is how you do it. You know, because the skill is there. The talent is there. It feels like the will is there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and he's still young. Like, this is the part in your career, like, in your life where you're like, hey, man, let's settle down. You know what I'm saying? Let's stay out these streets. We ain't getting no younger. Yeah. You know, Zach is at that age, NBA wise. Like, all right, man, I done got all the buckets and all the dunks and all that. Like, I'm ready to win. I feel like you put that dude on a team that's ready to win, like, he's going to produce. That's why I thought the Warriors should have got him. Because I feel like you put him with Steph too. And Draymond. Like, see what he's like next to them dudes, right? Like, but the problem.
And Jerry Stackhouse?
The problem with Zach is getting him would mean basically replacing the guy they already did that with Wiggins, right? They love Wiggins because they put Wiggins in the winning situation and Wiggins responded like a winner, right? And they would have to give up Wiggins to do that, and they love Wiggins, right? But I do feel like Zach LaVine is a much more potent scorer and playmaker, and that's what Steph needs.
Much more
like,
reliable scorer.
Yeah, he needs somebody. He go get you 30, bro. And that's easy. Like in the NBA. Do you remember you talking about them dudes? Them dudes, one of the ways you can define them is, can you go get 30 when you want to? Can you just say, I want to go get 30 and go get 30? And it don't matter what the defense is. It don't matter who the opponent is. I'm going to get you 30. I think Zach can go get 30. He can go get you 30 when he wants to, right?
Without
and
blinking.
Warriors need that guy. Not everybody can do that, right? Not everybody can do that. Like, that's a very hard thing to do. A lot of people need situation and all that. Zach going to get you 30. He just got to play some defense. And you put him with Draymond, you put him with I'm not going to call it yet. I think they might have missed on Zach. I've been saying Zach for a minute. They didn't get him. They were in the talks, but they didn't get him. So it's surprising, considering what he went for, that they didn't get him. Because, you know, Chicago could be a little wild with their demands. So I could see if they're like, oh.
Yeah, but they didn't get a whole lot. I mean,
they're trying to tank. I thought they, like, for I was here and the price was crazy. And, you know, Zach LaVine requested a trade in 2023 and he's still there, right? So sometimes Chicago could be unreasonable, right? Vucevic's still there, right? Sometimes he's unreasonable. But that deal showed that the price wasn't crazy. Like, he was very gettable. So it's surprising they didn't get him. But also Chicago, like you said, they're tanking and they get their pick back. And that's the best pick out of the bunch. It's their own pick. So perhaps that was the motivation.
Right. And they're going to tank, period. They're going they're sending the signal to everybody. We ain't here to compete. We are here to rebuild and to tank. And that's a big decision from Bulls management and ownership. I just think the Warriors missed out on a player who could help elevate that ceiling and that floor just a little bit. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is my man Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. Marcus, man, really appreciate your time today, brother.
Absolutely. Anytime you need
me. Hey, you coming out to L.A. this week?
Yeah, I'll be there this week, yep. I'll get a couple days.
We will congregate in Los Angeles.
And then you coming week. To me. And then you coming to me the following week.
And then I'm coming to you the following week, All-Star. Yes, make sure you have something set up for me.
Hey, we in the town though. We ain't doing that San Francisco business. We in the town. You got to come on. You got to come on our side. You know, like the old days. That's where you would go if it was just you. You know what I'm saying? If you just came out here, you wouldn't be over there. You'd be over here with us because I know where you from.
Hey, I'm from Detroit. And our cousins is Oakland. You be over here with us. Oakland is our cousins.
Yeah, you be over here with us. You be dressed nice, but you be over here with us.
Hey, I'm gonna be wherever the fun is next weekend for All Star Weekend. Marcus Thompson, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to producer Dakota and the entire team who helps behind the scenes on this show. I'll be back the day after the trade deadline on Thursday for the next edition of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.